Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Damn Up Mages. I am Adam Bacafusco, your host of the evening. Join with me is the always punctual Aaron Early.
It's in the name.
And with me is the man of many names, James Dudders Dudley.
Yep, hello, and always late.
So, how's it going, guys? Been a while. We had a shoot from the hip last week, which we got a lot of good feedback from. A lot of people enjoyed it.
Sweet.
And Aaron is back this week.
I was on vacation.
Yeah, you were. You're at the beach.
Vacation.
I actually think we didn't rip on you at all.
Yes, you did. But it's okay.
We did?
Yeah, you apologized for it, so it's all good.
I don't remember.
You ripped on him.
There's no hatches to be buried.
Okay, good. No bones to be picked?
Not this time. Which, by the way, you're looking in good health considering your injury.
Thanks.
What the listeners don't know is that Aaron and Dudders had it out really bad in between episodes, and so this is the most cordial they have been in the last week. It's nice that they're getting along. Please bear with me.
We are sitting on opposite ends of the table, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fighting that ended in frustration and then kissing.
Beautiful.
We have pictures. It was a magical moment.
Oh, yeah!
For a donation of $20, you can see these pictures.
Wow, you guys are cheap. Anyway, we're back, and we're back with this show. The band's back together, and we're going to start this episode the way we start every episode, with what you drinking. I am finishing up a cup of coffee. It was pretty good. I used half and half. I do not take any sugar in my coffee. And I don't actually drink it black.
I drink my coffee black. But I'm not drinking coffee. I'm drinking New Holland Brewing Company's Dragon's Milk Bourbon Barrel Stout. It is a roasty malt character intermingled with deep vanilla tones, all dancing in an oak bath. Pairings with red meat, smoked foods, balsamic, rich cheese, and damn art majors. It is 11% alcohol by volume, so I am going to be well lit by the end of this.
And I'm drinking the blood of my enemies! It has some wonderful top notes. Something about the jealousy interacting with the tannins is really nice.
Oh, is that what it's really called?
Yeah, yeah. No. Oh. I stopped by, during my vacation, Full Moon Brewery in Manio, North Carolina, and I was really taken aback by a extra strong bitters beer that they had called Vitamin O. It's brewed with citrus yeast, I think. I could be wrong.
Beach me, man.
But it's delicious.
Drink stuff.
And it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
Onward to the next segment.
This was was it Dragon's Milk?
Dragon's Milk, yes.
Like it came from the teat of Smaug?
I hope so.
Which teat?
Both.
That's why it's all even and balanced.
What if Smaug did have like a full-on rack? That would be really disturbing.
Well, I'd have to sit there and question if he was a dragon, because I don't think dragons would be mammals.
I'm actually picturing Benedict Cumberbatch with boobs. Really.
But you see, now I'm picturing him with a row of boobs, like, you know, like a pig would have, you know, teats. Several, like, you know, six of them at least. And then maybe that odd seventh one that just kind of sticks out randomly, and you're just like, what the hell's going on with that one?
He has golden nipple pasties to keep everything PG.
Elementary, my dear. Elementary.
Next week's a big week. We will be packing up and taking the show on the road, heading to Charlotte, North Carolina for the Heroes Con convention.
Friday at Heroes Con.
We will be recording two podcasts, No Big Two Comic Review, as well as a Damn Art Majors. We are lining up some guests who have agreed to come on the show, which is super awesome. And we're going to meet some fans and take some awesome pictures of folks in cosplay and whatnot. And I wanted to go ahead and throw this out right here. Unofficially, but totally officially, if we get enough people to like Damn Art Majors and tweet Damn Art Majors, # Aaron Rocketeer, he will dress up in the Rocketeer cosplay that he has for at least an hour. Would you do that? On the record, would you...
What's the number?
If we can get, if we can get,
this isn't a fucking Kickstarter.
If we can get 30 likes on Facebook, we're gonna put up a post that is Aaron Rocketeer. If we can get 30 likes and we can get a bunch of retweets, will you, in fact, dress up as a Rocketeer for an hour?
I will agree to wear the helmet.
No, jacket and everything, man.
Dude, that costume is hot as shit.
You're gonna be inside. You can even take pictures with people. Yeah, it'll be fun.
They'll have the air turned up because of the, you know,
the neck beards.
Yeah.
I will agree to wear the helmet, but
we'll get him to wear everything. So we're gonna post it. We're gonna make a post.
Wait, do you have the pants with the?
I have everything minus the jetpack and gloves and the harness. The boots are actually, I'm in the middle of resoling them at the moment. I don't know if I could get them done by next Friday. I probably could, depending on the amount of likes that we get, so...
And remember, folks, the more you share the image, the more likely we'll get the likes, and thus Aaron will be dressing up as a Rocketeer.
Sharing is caring.
And then we'll take pictures of Aaron dressed up as a Rocketeer.
Yes.
And you can share and like that.
You know what I like? I like the new fancy stickers we got in.
I
hot
do
from
too.
The presses. That's by right. Golly. So, yeah, we just got our stickers in. What are we going to do with them?
We're going to vandalize everything because it doesn't have any way to get in contact with us.
That's
good. It could go onto iTunes.
You can go on iTunes.
Anybody that's got half of a brain can probably figure that one out.
So we got the stickers. We'll pass them out a bit at Heroes Con. If you're interested in a sticker, what should they do?
You should contact us and state that you're interested in a sticker and or, in the kindness of your heart, make a donation to help us with our travels.
The way you would go about doing that is going on to damnartmajors.podomatic.com, and on the right-hand side, there is a donate button that I believe is all linked to PayPal. Stickers are not cheap, as we learned, and yeah.
But we're all fabricators and illustrators and designers and artists, so shameless self-promotion is kind of our thing, so if you're really nice, we'll probably just send you one.
Yeah.
And if you're really nice and donate, we'll send you one and maybe a little something extra. Maybe.
Maybe a picture of Aaron wearing the helmet. And only the helmet. Just the tip.
I mean, just the fin.
Alright, so where are we at? Oh, you got a thing to... news, man.
Yeah, I do have news. So... About 3.25 years ago, I made my largest scale sculpture, which was a 11-foot-tall, approximately third scale, rendition of a B-17 Flying Fortress engine. And it was a really great sculpture. Like, I got a lot of immediate positive feedback from it. I honestly impressed myself. And I have a real soft spot for this piece. But it's been in storage for 3 years because I had no facility to work on it or to house it or to install it somewhere. It's a lot of money wrapped up in trying to promote this piece because it's huge. It's also really awkward because it stands like a flamingo. Like the heaviest part of it is up at the top and it suspends to like a little point that connects to a base. But I found a gallery in Wilmington that really, really wants this piece. And so tomorrow I'm going to go pick it up from Greenville in storage. I'm going to touch it up, fix any problems that might be having incurred with it since it's been in storage. Probably kick out the family of possums that's living in it. And my plan is to install it indoors at Eclipse Gallery at Blue Moon on Racine Drive in Wilmington, North Carolina on Sunday, where it will be for several months, possibly a year. I'm not very certain. It basically will be there for long enough for everybody to go see it. But I have gotten a lot of really positive feedback from the work that's in the same series that I have currently at the gallery. So I'm really, really excited to get this piece up and renovated.
Cool.
Nice. Let me know how my work looks, because it's also got some pieces that are kind of, I think, in the same storage unit.
Yeah. I'm really curious as to just like what the maze of cobwebs I'm going to walk into, because from what I've found out is the storage unit is full. And so nobody's visited it in a while.
Damn. Yeah, I need to get back down there and get my work out of there.
You know what's awesome about being a digital artist? all my pieces that are in storage fit on my desk in a external hard drive.
See, that's the one thing they don't teach you in sculpture school, is you've got to store all this when you can't sell it. And that can be difficult.
Then sell it.
I'm working on it.
All right.
I'm working on it. Or you just get a house with a big yard, and you use your yard as your storage.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, episode 16.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
Damn, art majors can drive now. So let's
not very well, because clearly we've been drinking.
So Dad's given us the keys to our 87 Camaro.
What?
What?
No, not an 87.
What are we driving? Okay, that was my first car. What was your first car?
An 83 Super Sport El Camino.
No, it wasn't.
I had the check in my hand.
You had an El Camino was your first car?
Oh, God, I almost did. I had the check in my hand. It was a 83 Super Sport El Camino with a Monte Carlo body kit. It was fucking gorgeous. And the guy that had it had kept it in really good condition. But before I went and picked up the car, I sat down and did some realistic thinking and looked at a car insurance quote. And that immediately turned me off on the idea. Being, 17, 18, this being your first car, it's a sports car. Yeah, the insurance on that is ridiculous. Don't do it, kids. Don't let your parents buy you a sports car.
Either. I think it should be a 1995 Toyota Previa. Obviously, is the car we're going to be driving around in here.
Is that what you're
a straight up van.
Sweet.
That looks like an eggplant or a dustbuster.
Oh, wait, the one you took to college?
Yeah.
That was your first car?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, mine was an 87 Camaro. It was not, in fact, a Z28, though it did have the sticker of a Z28. It was missing apparently two cylinders, in the sense that most Camaros had V8s and mine was a V6. And every time I took a sharp turn, it would stall. It was an automatic.
So it's basically the opposite of a Camaro.
Yeah. That car would have been with me till the day I died, though, because I probably would have died in it.
So I cheated and didn't actually state what my first car was. It was a 93 or 94 two-door Chevy Blazer. My parents still have it, and it only has like 50,000 miles on it. It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, how does that even happen? I don't know how many times they've had people try to buy that damn thing off of them once they found out the mileage on it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there you go. Now damn art majors can drive.
Yeah. My van had 230,000 miles when I sold it.
Yeah.
For a whopping $900.
It'll probably get another 230,000 miles.
Oh, probably. That freaking four-cylinder Toyota engine is going to go forever.
I wouldn't be surprised that in the next 5 to 10 years there's some sort of upgrade that you can install yourself that will, make that car fuel efficient.
That car's already... I mean, it was a van. Mm-hmm. Four-cylinder van. I got 23 miles a gallon on the highway.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I've been inside that thing. I remember how massive that thing was. Yeah. It was basically like driving a tugboat around.
It was. It had the interior space as if you had like a little S10. Like a Chevy S10.
Yeah, you took all the seats out, didn't you?
I pulled all the seats out.
For the lovemaking.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
That van that was a great van. Actually... A part of me is sad that I sold that van, but the other part of me is glad because it was just getting to that point where things were going to start failing that had to be replaced.
Right.
And it was just going to be... It's like, okay, the van's worth maybe a grand.
I was sad to see that van go because with that being said, I always saw you around town. There was you and one other person whole town that had that car.
Yep.
So it was a 50-50 of whether or not it was going to be you.
Yeah. And now I drive a vehicle that is seen everywhere.
Yeah, you drive a very...
I drive a white utility truck.
Yeah, it's pretty basic.
Yeah. So I can park anywhere, which is great.
All right, so we're going to do something a little different for episode 16.
What are we going to do, Adam?
We collected a bunch of questions from the listeners.
No way!
The listeners like you. And we're going to go ahead and field some of these questions. So do we have a name for this segment?
We're going to field them in honor of the World Cup that's starting soon.
We'll call it UQIA.
What?
UQIA. Just use the four letters.
Oh.
Come on, I'm making it
easy. I was thinking damn mailbag.
That's even better.
That All right, we're going with damn mailbag.
Well, welcome to this episode featuring the damn mailbag.
All right.
So what is our first question, Adam? Reach in there. Reach in there. Ruffle around.
Mail. Mail time.
We need a bell. We need a bell. Ding, 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 ding.
Nope, we don't have a bell. All right. And we don't have a
bell. That sounds terrible.
It's the worst sounding bell ever.
Sorry. I killed the harmonics.
And I think you broke your glasses there.
There we go. All right.
So the first two questions comes from C-Wand-01. C-Wand-01? I guess it's some kind of handle. I don't think they wanted to give their actual name.
CW and 01.
Yes. Wand 01.
That's CW and plus one, maybe?
Ah, maybe. Like, maybe they're a really big fan of Vampire Diaries.
Maybe it's Chris Wooten.
Maybe. Anyway, question one. What is the weirdest thing you've ever done to make art?
Who goes first?
Aaron, field that one.
Okay. Adam, you have personal experience with this one, because I think I lived with you at the time in the dorms. Once in college, I persuaded everybody around me to take really good care of their hard packs of cigarettes, and I requested that after they were done smoking them, the packs were empty, that they would give them to me if they were in good shape. At the same time, I went around and collected all of the empty packs that I could find that were also in good condition, and after I collected probably fucking hundreds of them in a garbage bag, I emptied them all out and, like, you know, Febrezed them, let them air out, packed them all in a box and saved them for several months, and then I made a socio-political painting with them that, to this day, I think is probably one of my best concepts I've ever created.
Do you still have that one?
No, I sold it.
Nice.
That was
a really good piece.
Yeah, I sold it to a guy that was interested in the concept that the piece had, as well as Tobacania, so it was, like, perfect medium
awesome.
For him.
What about you?
Besides trying to cut my own fingers off while making artwork.
Several times.
I would have to say the weirdest thing I've done to make artwork. Well, I don't know if it was weird. It was really tasty. I still haven't actually finished this piece, but I needed a bunch of chicken bones. And the best way I knew to get them was to order wings over Greenville. And I ate, like, 50 wings.
Nice.
And purposely saved all of the bones. I mean, and I picked them clean. Needless to say, I was probably sick for 3 days afterwards. But it was totally worth it. I think I might have actually written it off as a tax, like, for art thing. Like, I might have, like, put that into my taxes.
Hmm.
I think the weirdest thing I ever did, and only now I'm like... This was in a time where, you know, bees are really big. They're really in the news. They're all somewhat endangered.
Bees?
You know, bees. We oh. love bees. So, with that being said, this happened many years ago when we weren't really talking about bees. But we were drawing insects for a drawing class. And the professor asked that we brought in our own specimen. So, I spent an entire afternoon in my backyard with a bottle of water laced with soap. Trying to spray bees. when the soap hits the bees' wings, they kind of pretty much lock up,
mm-hmm.
and they die. You know, they'll try to, like, land, and ultimately the soap will end up killing them. With that being said, I spent a whole afternoon chasing bees to realize that they still can fly for a little bit, even though you sprayed them, and when they land... I have no idea where they went. So, luckily, I ended up somehow catching a couple bees and putting them in the freezer in hopes that they would die humanely, like fucking Jack and Rose on the Titanic.
There's nothing humane about freezing anyone.
I know.
It sounds hilarious, but...
Kill bees.
I'm going to report this act of terrorism to the Homeland Security.
Yeah, only person I tortured was myself.
Question two, in keeping with the theme of episode 13, what is the piece you feel was your worst and why? And I'm assuming the question is, you weren't particularly proud of it, but you haven't thrown it away because other people like it.
I'm pretty sure I've thrown this piece away. If I haven't, I'd be fucking surprised. I think it was 2008. I did a painting of a 1950s housewife with six or eight arms that were all multitasking in unison. Like one was cutting vegetables, the other was dusting, the other was cooking on a stovetop with a pan, the other was brushing her hair or talking on the phone, you know. I can't remember exactly what they were doing, but it was shit. And the reasoning behind that is sometimes the original sketch captures all the personality and really delivers the message the best, and trying to expand upon that just doesn't work out. I can post an image of that painting if you guys want.
My least favorite piece is actually installed on East Carolina's campus.
Which one is that?
It is a giant white figure with a cast iron. It has a reaction mold cast iron piece welded into the chest. Mm-hmm. What would be the chest?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't remember what the building is. At least I think it's still installed.
It's at Jenkins, right? It's right beside the wall that's beside the walkway on Founders Boulevard, I think.
No, I think you're thinking of the blue chrysalis. It's blue. It's got all the panels of steel.
Kind
of
shaped like a teardrop.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. No, this figure is kind of like a big ghost. It's like a big white ghost, and it's got this cast iron chest piece in it. Hmm. It's a building that is across from the art building towards the interior of campus. Like, it's between the art building and Mendenhall. There's that old brick building where I think some of the art history people had some of their offices in.
The Mamie Jenkins?
Maybe. Building? Yeah.
I can't remember if that was the actual name of it or not.
Anyway,
so people should be on the lookout for this piece.
Yeah, if you're on East Carolina's campus and you see this ghost figure, it was kind of the same thing. I drew this sketch and I kind of enjoyed it, and I was like, I'll invest some money into this idea. And I finished it and I was like, this is the most boring, one-dimensional, like, I mean, the thing's like 8 feet tall. And afterwards, I was just like, maybe not 8 feet, 7 feet tall. Afterwards, I was like, no, this is a terrible, like, why did I waste my time with this? But other people looked, like, I can't remember who it was. Anyway, someone came and looked at it, and they were like, oh, we like this. And other people liked it. And they were like, let's install it on campus. And I was like, fine, get it out of here. And I haven't even been back. In fact, I haven't even thought about that until this question was asked. So I probably should go back and see it. I bet it's just covered in rust, because there's no way I did a good job painting that
thing. It's also covered in bird shit.
Yeah. Oh, you can't tell. It's white.
Yeah. Mine was an illustration that I had done for illustration class. And all semester, I had been trying to impress this teacher or professor by really giving it my all. And then it was like my senior year, and it was like one of the last projects. And we had to do collages of historical people. I want to say the rules was like they had to be dead and nobody can repeat a person, and certain names were off the list. And we could use Photoshop and photo manipulation and stuff like that to do the image. I did Rodney Dangerfield, and I think I spent like 10 minutes on it, and I did it really quick. And I got the best grade on it than I did any other project in that class. So, even though I love Rodney Dangerfield, and I actually don't hate that piece, I was always kind of perturbed by the fact that I put the least amount of effort in it and got the best grade. So, there you go.
Nice vocabulary word there, perturbed.
Yeah, thank
you.
Well
done.
Yeah, I picked it up from Aaron's Word of the Day calendar.
Excellent.
You mean my toilet paper?
Hold on, let me postulate the next question.
Hey, that was fair use of that word. Thank you very much.
All right, so the next two questions comes from Marcella of Coral Springs, Florida. And Marcella asks, if given the opportunity to go back to college all those years ago, would you still choose to focus on the same field, or would you rather elect another art major? Would you go with something totally different, like accounting or African-American studies?
I would not have changed my majors. I'm very happy with the experiences and education that I got through double majoring in painting and drawing and sculpture, and then minoring in art history. But I definitely would have taken some community college, like small business courses, after graduation. I think each one of us probably spent a year and a half in Greenville after graduation, trying to decompress or get our lives together before
figure
we move
out
on.
What we were doing, yeah.
But it would have been a really great time for me to stick with the learning. You know, you're in the mode. You know, why I didn't do that is beyond me. I still think I might do that. So,
right on. Gutters?
Honestly, I think I probably. Well, I know I would have ended up in sculpture, just because I'm one of those. I know I've always known that I have to work with my hands to be happy. But I probably would have, if I knew everything I knew now and was back in school, I probably would have worked even harder to really cherish the time I had in that bubble that is, that is working in the studio. And honestly, the only thing I would have changed is taking more classes that involve drawing. Because I focused very heavily on my three-dimensional work,
right,
and didn't take a lot of drawing classes. And I really, and now I actually turn to drawing more as a therapy, and I do less three-dimensional work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, part of that is time constraints. You know, I have more time to draw than I do sit down in the shop and weld stuff. But I probably would have just probably done more drawing, but pretty much the same route.
I recently thought of, on this, and I've kind of decided that though I would have liked to take more communication art classes and more graphic design and, marketing classes, advertising classes, doing animation interactive design did allow me to be a very versatile designer. With that being said, the only thing I would have changed is instead of coming into it in its infancy, I would have rather have come into it, I don't know, while the program was established for like at least 10 years, so that they had a goal and had a direction, and they weren't just trying to make it up as they went along. And, that's pretty much the only thing I would have changed. I would have added definitely more two-dimensional work, as well as just would have went with a program that was a little more grounded in what it was doing. But that was a really good question. The next question is actually directed at me from Marcella. She asks, Adam, what happened to Lucky Boy's Confusion?
What the hell is Lucky Boy's Confusion?
Aaron knows us.
Is this a band?
I know they were a... Give me a sec to find the right word for it.
A band that Adam... They were, really, really liked.
They were like a pop punk ska band.
Yes.
That's all I remember of them.
All right. So there is really quickly, because I'm sure most people don't care, but I'm going to fill this question for Marcella here. Lucky Boy's Confusion, unfortunately, had broken up and went into two different bands. They were both very awful. Those two bands then broke up, and they all had to find real jobs. The guitarist Joe Sell, who was a good friend of mine, I'm probably overselling that, ended up dying from liver problems. And so the band reunited and did one more tour around the U.S. in honor of Joe, who was a very awesome dude who I had the pleasure of meeting several times over. So that answers your question.
I remember you telling me that you met him. You were really excited about it.
What? I saw Lucky Boy's Confusion played 9 times.
Well, no, when you met the guy personally, I think.
Oh, I met him every time I saw him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was when he died that's when I was really upset. But
a follow-up question to that is also for Adam. Whatever happened to the loud noises?
I don't know, Aaron. Maybe we could get Joe, the singer of the loud noises, to call in, and we could have a reunion.
Shout out to Joe. Hey, Mr. Pinstripe Rockstar.
Was this your guys' band?
Yes, it was our band, and we were fantastic.
Oh, God.
Dude, I still have some of the tracks. We should embarrass the shit out of ourselves and post it.
Great.
Yeah, no,
we did a Sublime cover. That's how awesome we were.
Don't ask any questions.
No. I was lucky enough to get through college and high school without ever being in a band.
All right, Dutters,
I have no musical talent, so that also helps.
You want to call out this next question?
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at this. Wow. Leah from Dutter's house. Fascinating. That guy has the same name as me. here in North Carolina. asks, describe your ideal sandwich.
I got this.
All right, Adam.
I love chicken fillies. So okay. I'm going to say a chicken filly on a clean hoagie with some of the freshest grilled peppers and onions, some of the nicest cheese, all fresh, and like a home taste to it, and a bag of chips on the side.
All right.
Yeah. Chicken filly.
I'm gonna describe mine in the individual layers. Because nice. I don't have a name for it.
Did you write this down?
I did write it down.
That is excellent. That is absolutely excellent.
I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm like, what would I be eating right now if I had the ingredients? So starting from the bottom, going to the top. Slice of whole wheat bread, turkey, dry white cheddar, turkey, dry white cheddar, lettuce, tomato, pepper, nacho cheese Doritos, Dijon mustard, slice of whole wheat bread.
Very nice. I like the incorporation of the Doritos for that texture factor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Shaggy ate that sandwich in an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Like Shaggy ate a lot of things. Like
3 feet tall.
He ate a lot of snacks that involved drugs.
Like, oh man, Scoob, I'm totally Jonesy versus.
I did leave out LSD in my
My sandwich actually exists in the real world, and the person who asked this question, Leah, will know this. It is the Italian sub from Anna's Pizzeria in Gloucester, Virginia, of all places. Now, the only people that would know of Gloucester, Virginia are people from Gloucester, Virginia. But this is this tiny Italian eatery, and their Italian sub is absolutely the greatest sandwich ever created. It has the standard Italian, you know, the salami, the provolone, the ham, the pepperoni, you know, and then your onions, your lettuce, the oil and vinegar, the tomato, the mayo, and then I think they use like a Hawaiian loaf bread, but then they bake it in the pizza oven. And I mean, I have been getting this sandwich as far back as I can remember. And whenever I go to visit my family that lives in Gloucester, Virginia, I get this sub. I have never actually gotten anything else from this restaurant. Hmm. I don't even know how their pizza is.
Who cares?
I don't know. But their sub, if you are ever driving through Gloucester, Virginia, stop at Anna's Pizzeria and get the Italian sub and get it. All just with the stand, and it has the peppers on it, you know, the banana peppers, the salt and pepper. Well, it is absolute. It will change your life.
I believe you, because since you've been talking about it, you visibly started sweating.
I mean, like, and it's one of those sandwiches where you sit down and you're like, you know, you have an option. It's like you get the small, which is like the half sub, you know, for like $5, and then you get the large for like $7. And you get the line, and it's actually a real large sub. It's like, you know, like about 18 inches worth of sub. And you sit there and you're like, you know what? I probably should save the extra slice to go home. Screw that. You eat it. And you love it. Because it'll never be as good as when they first serve it to you. That fresh out of a pizza oven warm. Like that right. Oh, man. It is absolutely the greatest Italian. I have gone to every pizza place I've ever been to. And I will order their Italian sub. And I have yet to find one that compares.
Nice.
Love that sub.
I'm going to try all the things we just talked about. these questions have some effort behind them.
Oh my gosh, they have a lot of words.
The second question, well, there's one.
Well, just do the first one, okay. And then we'll figure out the second.
Okay.
So read it.
I know. Hey guys, real conundrum for you. I'm 19, and I'm currently taking a class that works weekly with nude models. Every time we work with a girl model, I find myself popping a boner, and it only gets worse when I have to draw her curves. I think I do a pretty good job of capturing some more sensual areas, but it's literally hard to make it through class. What's worse is that there are two super hot girls in my class talking smoke shows, and in any other situation, I wouldn't have a problem talking to them, but definitely can't if I keep popping boners. How do I stop going from 6 to midnight in class? It's an art class, so there's really no way to hide it. Should I start jacking it right before class, or what do you think I should do to handle this sticky problem? Any advice helps. Thanks.
Well,
Greg.
I mean, honestly, if you've got time to, if you've got time to rub one out, go ahead and do that. But if all else fails, dude, the belt tuck.
I had.
You're talking about the vertical tuck?
I'm talking about the straight up vertical belt tuck, and I think every high school boy knows about the belt tuck.
Greg.
What? And then just kind of lean forward. If you're sitting on a stool, then you just kind of lean forward. If you're standing up, just kind of like awkwardly position yourself in such a way as to discreetly hide the fact that your belt is bulging out a little bit more than usual.
You're posing like you're trying to show off your biceps while trying to pick up a penny off the ground.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was gonna say tape. Just tape it to your inner thigh.
No, that sounds like pain. All.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it...
You're going to be sitting there having a conversation with someone and be like, no! Oh, yes, no.
He's going to be walking a little funny.
The teacher's going to walk over and be like, oh, well, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm trying to capture this... The curves of her... of her body here. I think in the way the light casts a shadow across her nave here is quite lovely.
So Aaron, how would you help poor Greg here?
I would not scream at the top of my lungs into a microphone. We have neighbors, man.
It's okay, because Adam's the only one wearing the headphones.
I know.
All right, Greg.
You wrote down.
I did. I have a legit answer for this fucking question. Greg wants honest advice. Okay, sure. If you're really concerned, I would suggest masturbating 30 minutes or so before class. This should allow your blood pressure to return to a normal...
Equilibrium,
and would probably alleviate most of your need to keep focus without that focus causing arousal. Arousal. I can't say that word right.
Arousal.
Libidos are different for everyone, so my suggestion could be wrong. It might not work for you.
I mean, the guy's 19, so we're talking like...
He's in the prime of his life.
Yeah, man. He's just trying to find the prime.
I got it. Greg, run a mile before class.
God, that sounds horrific.
Run a mile before class because your blood is going to be like circling your body. You're not going to be able to achieve an erection for at least an hour.
If you're going to give that kind of horrific advice, just tell him to smoke a shitload of cigarettes. And that way he'll...
Well, that... Wait.
No, that actually just kill a sperm count.
Yeah.
Either way, artists are notorious for seeking a means to keep the edge off or to keep their focus turned on. I would say try your best not to get lost in the intimacy of the scenario. Don't focus on the fact that they're... What did you say? Smoke shows? The human body is a masterpiece, and if you're finding yourself in a state of appreciation, the best thing to do is do the model justice on paper by keeping your fucking head in the game. The other option is to wear a fucking jock strap.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, that's the thing. To be serious about it, when you are really focusing on drawing a nude model, like, seeing them as a woman that is sexually arousing is probably one of the last things in your mind. At least that was, for me, it was literally, it's just like, sitting there trying to get all the lines, all the details, all the shapes correct. And seeing them sexually was probably the farthest thing. Just because, well, also my grade kind of depended on it. I wasn't taking a class that was like a weekly. I wasn't signing up for this.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway.
And we got a final question. Thank you, Greg. Hope everything works out, buddy.
From Fairview, Wisconsin.
Fairview, Wisconsin.
This question comes to us from a person that requested to be anonymous, so neither one of you say his name or her name.
Hey, bros.
Hey, bros.
We're going to call him Charlie.
So I've been dating this girl for about a year now, and she loves to sketch. When we first started dating, she used to sketch me in these pretty cool sci-fi scenes. I've always thought it was pretty cool, but in the past few months, she stopped sketching me and started sketching men that look pretty different from me. I'm not that self-conscious, but these drawings are pretty damn good. I don't recognize anyone from the sketches, but should I be worried if she's cheating or thinking of cheating on me? At the very least, I feel like maybe she's thinking about cheating on me, or maybe leaving, me, which would ruin my life. Not many fun artsy girls have come my way, and I don't know if I'll get another chance at dating a chick like this. Do I need to do something to save my relationship, or do you think that I'm simply not enough of a muse for her anymore? She's at least cheating on me with her art. Do I have to worry about her cheating on me in real life as well? What should I do in this situation to either stop her from cheating on me or to get her to start sketching me again? Thanks, Charlie.
All right.
P.S. She's the one who got me into this show and listens religiously, so please keep me anonymous.
All right. I actually have a serious response. Charlie, you need to get the hell over yourself. Because if anything, she is broadening her artistic horizon. You're probably not that interesting of a guy. And you probably have the most boring features.
Ouch.
And so she is like, you know what? I need to broaden my skills and abilities. So she is sitting there going, why am I drawing this schmuck? I am not going to... Yes, I'm straight up going car talk on this. I am not even going to... I ain't going beyond this. And so she has decided, if anything, you should be encouraging her to draw other people. Mm-hmm. Because all that's going to happen is if she continues to draw you, she's going to get sick of looking at your ugly face. And then she will leave you. But at least if you let her draw out these other people, these other characters, whatever, and leave you out of it, then she'll come back to you and see you as a new, fresh face that she wants to be with.
She's totally cheating on you, bro.
I assume you're in college, Charlie. Which means you're probably between 17 and 25, which is far too early for any sort of artist to have a muse. It's also not possible for someone to cheat on you with their art. If you're so concerned about the scenario, here's some honest advice. Find a way to talk with her about your concerns, or end the relationship, or start modeling at like a group event, or maybe for your own figure drawing classes, so you will have sketches of yourself, and again your appetite for photos of, for drawings of yourself will be satiated. Alternately, I have a question for you. Do you sketch your girlfriend, or do you sketch girls that don't look like your girlfriend? Also, this
can we sketch your girlfriend?
This isn't fucking Dear Abby, man. I have one more question that I forgot to mention to you earlier. It's from one of my coworkers.
Awesome.
He asked me, what happened to all the artists that worked with feces?
They all got E. coli.
They died. No, people grew up and realized that, why the hell am I paying this much money to see someone's crap?
They all ran out of shit.
They switched to a strictly vegan diet. All they have is diarrhea.
Truth on that one, and I actually did kind of start formulating a segment until I realized that the answers would have been really obvious. They're still around. They get paid a lot of money to continue doing this form of art. It's very commercialized. You're very familiar with it. It's a little television show that spawned several DVDs and movies called Jackass. Postmodern artists became entertainers. And, I mean, Johnny Knoxville is not, you know, too far off from crucifying himself to a Volkswagen.
Yeah, performance art could definitely, you know, curtail into theater, or I don't know, Jackass.
I mean, if anything, honestly, the man who truly takes the cake, though, is, I don't know if you're familiar with Charles Bronson.
Yeah,
he's considered the worst inmate in all of England.
He was a boxer, right?
He was an underground boxer. I don't remember his original name. He changed his name to Charles Bronson to be similar to the Hollywood star from the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, and I watched the movie based on his, more loosely based on his life, but I believe he covered himself in fecal matter to prevent guards from being able to tackle him while he was just fighting them, because he had nothing. And this is a guy who will do like 1200 push-ups in a day in his cell, because they will put him in solitary confinement on a regular basis. And apparently British solitary confinement is a box that you can't quite, like, it's just enough room to lay down. Like, it is just a tiny little, but anyway, it's interesting. The movie's Bronson. I think it was on Netflix for a while, but it had, it stars the guy who plays,
Bane. Guy who plays Bane.
Tom Hardy. Yeah. It stars Tom Hardy as the title character, Charles Bronson. And it is an absolutely entertaining and weird movie. But he wins. He takes the cake as far as if half of what happened in that movie is accurate, then he definitely takes the cake on shit performance artists.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Charles Bronson said that it was like the most honoring portrayal he's ever seen of himself.
Yeah, it was. I mean, actually, what's really entertaining is his. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard, and there's not much to spoil. It's sort of an odd movie, but what's funny is the climax and the finale of the movie takes place with him in prison art class, mm-hmm. where he actually takes his art instructor hostage for several hours. It's very interesting, and I think if I remember correctly, it's all because the art instructor gave him a bad feedback on his artwork.
Your finger painting looks like your skin.
Something like that. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but it was one of those late night Netflix things where, you know, you click on it, you're like, whatever, it's Tom Hardy, you know, yeah, sure. And then suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Why I don't know why I haven't watched this earlier. But for any of you out there if it's still on Netflix, watch Bronson. It's interesting.
I came home and I did a quick search for a contemporary artist that used Dookie in their work.
Dookie being the that is the correct term.
I wasn't able to find any. There are some that are continuing series
with urine
from mostly it's urine, but apparently poop is taboo, too taboo.
Fingernails,
but
are
taboo.
I found a
fingernail.
that should be the name of this episode. What? Taboo.
No, do not put poo in the name of the episode.
But it seems like most of them that had references online finished whatever series of work they were doing in the mid-2000s or late 90s, with the most of them occurring in the middle of the 90s, which is kind of strange. And it also explains a lot, maybe.
Clinton administration. But
there were two in particular that I thought were particularly interesting. One of them I had heard before. He was a guy that took a shit in like a quart-sized paint can, and he had like labels for it professionally printed, and he titled them artist's shit, and he would probably pressurize them and then sell them for basically their weight in gold. His name was Piero Manzoni, and then alternately there was another artist named Noritoshi Hirakawa, who had a performance piece where she was in some gallery and would read a novel by Philip Pullman in the morning, and there was like a limited amount of time that you could go in and view this performance. While she was reading the novel, she would take a shit next to her chair.
Was that a commentary on the novel?
It could only be.
I think it might have been. She just, when you're reading a novel for that long, she had her cup of coffee, she might have smoked a cigarette. Yeah. You know, one thing leads to another.
You know what, though?
You're halfway through it. You're dedicated to your craft. You're not going to leave.
That's when most of us get our best reading in. So, sounds pretty nice, actually.
I cannot imagine being an artist and promoting myself by pinching one off in a gallery.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, it would seem shameful. Like, I cannot picture a way for me to feel any sort of validation from shitting in front of people.
Well, I mean, first off, I don't think anyone ever needs to see my poop face. And everyone knows what I'm talking about. I mean, maybe you've been lucky enough to actually use a restroom that had a mirror directly across from you.
No, I haven't had the pleasure.
But if you ever have, then you have seen your poop face. And
I feel like I would just be making
faces. You know who has seen all of our poop face? Jeff Goldblum.
I don't even understand.
I was thinking you were going to say parents, but
Aaron, explain to people why I say Jeff Goldblum.
God, Jeff Goldblum is watchingyoupoop.com. It is one of the oldest living websites ever. Like, it showed up in the late 90s, and ever since then, it has literally been an image of Jeff Goldblum's. It was a portrait of Jeff Goldblum looking crazy as shit from around the time he was starring in the movie The Fly. And it wasn't even
Ian Malcolm Jeff Goldblum.
No, it's literally
not cool Jeff Goldblum.
It's a low resolution image of his face. He's all sweaty and looking crazy. And at the bottom it says Jeff Goldblum is watching you poop.
And you had this in your bathroom for several years.
Yes,
on the door.
I printed it out and I posted it on the back of the door. So when you closed it, you were immediately greeted by this horrifying image.
To all our listeners who also had the misfortune of Jeff Goldblum watching you poop, shout it out on the Facebook. We want to know.
What's your poop face like? Wow.
And on that note, I think that concludes the first and hopefully not last damn mailbag. If you guys,
this mailbag went straight down the crapper.
If you guys listening have any questions, any ideas, you know, throw them out to us, damartmajors@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, damartmajors, or tweet us at damartmajors. And we will, you know, either include you on the next damn mailbag or, you know, right then and there, answer your question.
Or write us something really nice. And if you're nice enough, we'll ask you for your address.
Ooh!
And we'll send you a sticker.
Sticker. Yay!
But if you're really, really, really nice, in the financial sort of way,
we might we'll send you something extra.
I think if somebody donates a healthy portion, and I'm not saying anybody has to, I'm just saying, we could probably do a really cool sketch for him.
Like a fiver?
A fiver?
You want a fiver.
You want to draw for $5?
I would draw for $5.
All right, Aaron will draw you something for $5. I'll draw you something. I think all three of us would draw you something for, you know, 20.
It'll be a $5 drawing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a nice, lovely pie chart for $5.
Well, you're in luck because a 5-minute drawing for me, or a $5 drawing, is still a pretty damn good drawing.
That's only because you're egotistic.
A what?
What?
I'm an egotist?
Yeah.
I am very much an egotist. I'm an artist, naturally. The best artist I know is myself.
Yeah. But how does one really know themselves without looking at their past and analyzing their future?
Dude, that's the worst segue ever. Time travel's a bitch.
The next one will be better.
What is the noise? Stop.
What?
Okay, go.